today as we come to the table.
It drained his physical body by the spiritual activity. Afterward, I rose and I went about the king's business. And look at this. Don't feel too bad if you don't understand everything we covered today, because Daniel didn't the first time either. He says, I was astonished by the vision, but no one understood it. Daniel obviously understood it later. Some of you this morning are saying, well, that's right. I've heard the vision, but I don't understand it. As you continue to study God's word, you will understand it. God will show you. God will begin as you go back and listen. As you study the word of God, God will reveal that wherever you are in your prophetic understanding and how you're growing in that. But here's the main thing that God wants you to understand today, and that is he loves you, and that he's an intimate God who cares about intimate details.
Have you ever read something and when you finished, you didn't really know what you had just read, so you went back and read it again? It could have been instructions that just didn't make sense the first or even second time. Many times, once you get to the end, you have context and you can go back and it'll all make sense. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary, Knoxville. When it comes to the Bible, you may not understand much of what you read the first time. Today, Pastor Mark assures you that you're not alone. Even Daniel didn't understand at first. As you spend more time in the Word and praying, you'll start to understand more and more. All you need to know now is God loves you. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Daniel, chapter 8, as he continues his message, Intimate Details from an Intimate God.
According to history, shortly after this, Antiochus was struck with a disease that, again, apparently from the medical records, later said that he was filled with worms, and the worms ate him to death slowly on the inside until he died in miserable pain. And it says that at the very end, he couldn't even stand the smell of his own flesh because it was dying as the worms were eating him. I think the lesson here is don't say you're God. But I say that tongue-in-cheek, but the reality is he was truly trying to take the place of Jesus Christ there on the Temple Mount. I'm not saying that people today that are lost in their false religions who say they're God, there are those that do that. I'm not saying they're going to be struck by worms. I'm saying this particular time, this was one that was so egregious to heaven as he's on the Temple Mount declaring that he's God. We saw the same things in Acts chapter 12. Remember when Herod Agrippa I was making this speech and they were saying, oh, the voice of a God and not of a man, the voice of a God and not of a man. Those of you that are familiar with that. And it says that he was struck with worms and died. Very interesting to see this kind of pattern for people that are in great leadership who accept the designation as a God. And it doesn't tell us whether or not the Antichrist will be struck with worms, but we know that God is going to deal with him when he comes back, and it's going to be much worse than worms could ever be. It's also interesting that when you see these attacks on the Jews, it oftentimes ends up in a feast. And you know, when they were attacking, trying to kill the Jews there in Egypt, they have Passover. Again, when they tried to kill them in Persia with Haman, they have Purim now. And then Antiochus, the Feast of Dedication. Again, that didn't happen with Hitler, so I'm not saying it happens with all of them. But it's interesting to watch how God makes beauty from ashes. Now again, quite obviously here, you see the parallels. That's what Antiochus did. What does the Bible say that the Antichrist is going to do? The Bible says he'll come on the scene with great intrigue, great power. It'll not be his own power. It'll be demonic power given to him by Satan and the demonic realm, the Bible says. He will bring the world supposedly into one world government with one world peace, one world everything. There'll be these 10 kings that rise up. The little horn will rise up in the midst of them. The fulfillment of this dual prophecy, except this time it won't be Antiochus. It'll be the Antichrist, if you will. The Bible says he will let the Jews rebuild their temple, the third temple on the Temple Mount. That's going to be amazing to see that take place. He will allow them to restart their sacrifices. And at the 3.5-year point, even as Antiochus Epiphanes stopped all the sacrifices and said, you must bow to me, the Antichrist will stop all the sacrifices, it says in Matthew and in Revelation, and he'll say, you will bow down and worship me. And at that point, the Jews that believe the word of God, there'll be many getting saved during that time. They'll flee down to Petra, Matthew chapter 24, where God's going to supernaturally protect them. But even as Antiochus wiped out a huge portion of the Jews at that time, I think being led demonically as that foreshadowing of the Antichrist, I believe Satan will be at some point entering the Antichrist during this time. And it says he will wipe out 2/3 of the Jews on the planet. Think about that. There'll only be 1/3 left. God will protect a remnant. God will spare that remnant. Only 1/3 will make it through all the way to the end of the Great Tribulation. A big portion of those will be down there in Petra, maybe others scattered out in different places, if you will, as the Antichrist takes away the sacrifices. He also will set up an image on the Temple Mount, it tells us in Revelation, just like Antiochus Epiphanes, his foreshadow. Except it will not be an image of Jupiter/Zeus. It will be an image, it would appear, of himself. And it's going to be given technology where he can speak and breathe. And again, we look at the technology today. You can think about holograms. You can think about robotics. You can think about all kinds of things that are happening today. We see the technologies in place. But the very thing that this Antiochus did is going to be done again by the Antichrist in the last days. An army will be given over to him as well, even as it was to Antiochus. He will take away the daily sacrifices, even as Antiochus. He will do all this and prosper, even as Antiochus, until finally the judgment will come upon him, even as it did Antiochus. And notice verse 13. Then I heard a holy one speaking, and another holy one said to that certain one who was speaking, how long will the vision be concerning the daily sacrifices and the transgression of desolation? And the giving of both the sanctuary and the host to be trampled underfoot. It's interesting. It says that Antiochus was trampling underfoot Jerusalem. It says that in the last days, the Antichrist and the Gentiles will be trampling Jerusalem underfoot. So again, you see this dual prophecy. I want you to recognize this. It is partly fulfilled, completely fulfilled in the end. And they ask him, how long is it going to be? In other words, here's modern day language. How long till Antiochus takes over and the temple is cleansed? So he's seeing this vision. How long, Lord? And notice what he says. For 2,300 days, then the sanctuary will be cleansed. And according to historians, it was exactly 2,300 days when the temple was finally cleansed after Antiochus took power. So again, God showing the accuracy of his word in prophecy so that no one could doubt it is the word of God, that God is speaking, and that we're to heed the word of God. So powerful, prophecies taking place right in the midst of this. Then, notice what happens, verse 15. It happened when I, Daniel, had seen the vision and was seeking the meaning that suddenly there stood before me one having the appearance of a man. And I heard a man's voice between the banks of the Ulai, that river he was seeing in the vision, who called and said, Gabriel, make this man understand the vision. So now we know one that was speaking to him was Gabriel. We don't know who the other voice was. Was it the Lord? Was it another angel? We don't know. But Gabriel here is identified speaking to Daniel. We'll see Gabriel later on in chapter 10, and I think working into 11, also speaking to Daniel, if you will. And you're going to see Gabriel. We have just a few names of the angels in the Bible. Gabriel is the one that is the messenger of God. It doesn't mean that he doesn't do other things. But Gabriel brings messages. Right here we see Gabriel bringing the message more than once to Daniel in the book of Daniel. We see Gabriel is the one that will show up to Mary and give the message to Mary. Gabriel will show up and give the message to Mary's husband, Joseph. Gabriel will show up and give the message to Zechariah, again, and speak to them about all that's happening. He was the messenger of God at that time giving these messages, or it would appear he was all of those. We know that he was most, if not all. And so he's kind of the messenger to the nation of Israel through God. Later on, we're going to see that Gabriel gets opposed by, it would appear, Satan and some of the other fallen angels as he's trying to get to Daniel and bring a further message to Daniel in chapter 10. We'll see that here in a few weeks. But as he's getting there, he can't break through. Now, again, it's one, Gabriel against another group of angels, and these angels, maybe some of them being the same rank, Satan probably a higher rank than Gabriel. He was the cherub that covers, and so it would indicate he was a very high ranking, if not one of the top ranking or the top ranking, we don't know, but he certainly wasn't any greater than Michael. And again, we'll see Michael come along. Michael is the bruiser. So Michael's the one that whenever something he's done, Michael breaks through. And you're going to see in Daniel chapter 10, that when Gabriel gets clogged down, he sends Michael, and Michael busts through all those other angels. I can't wait to see Michael. I mean, this guy's going to be awesome. Probably have Michael's gym in heaven, we're all going to work out there, and I love it. It's going to be great. But this guy is going to be awesome. He's amazing. I'm not saying that Gabriel's not, so don't want to have him mad at me when I get there by saying that. But I think that Michael's going to be the one that will pump you up. You know, he's going to be the one that's going to be, you know, that will smash your head or whatever. And so I love Michael and can't wait to see Michael. That's going to be quite. Matter of fact, Michael's the one that was protecting, you know, the body of Moses against Satan. So it shows that again, he's the heavyweight. He's the one that does the heavy lifting, if you will. But this is Gabriel giving the message. So he came near where I stood, and when he came, I was afraid, and I fell on my face. But he said to me, "Understand, son of man, that the vision refers to the time of the end." Now, guys, I want you, it's just a side note here, but notice this. He came near where I stood. I don't want to take this out of context, but there is an application here, and I want you to know this. The Lord is here this morning to come alongside you where you stand. I don't know what your need is this morning, but he will meet you right where you are. He'll use the language you need. He'll use the situation you're in. If you need a message from God, he's got the Gabriels who can deliver it. Of course, the Holy Spirit delivers messages to us now. You get my point. Maybe you need a Michael. Maybe you're saying, "Lord, I need a Michael," you know, just to come in and just do some head stomping here or whatever. Again, God is there. Cry out to God. He knows what your needs are. The angels, the Bible says, are there to serve us. They serve God first, but God uses them to serve the saints as well. And so it's interesting to me that he meets Daniel where he is, and God meets us where we are in his spirit, in himself, and even with the angels to strengthen us, as we'll see Gabriel does here for Daniel in just a moment. But he's talking about the time of the end. And look at verse 18. "Now, as he was speaking with me, I was in a deep sleep with my face to the ground." In other words, overwhelmed by the vision, he had collapsed. "But he touched me and I stood upright." Again, we're going to see later that his energy was drained. And whenever you see Daniel in these visions, his energy is drained. The angel will touch him and strengthen him. God gives him supernatural power. And note this, guys, whenever you're in the spiritual battle, it's draining. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. Maybe you're here this morning, you're extremely drained, you're depressed, you're heavy. Note this, it may not be spiritual battle, but it might. So put on your spiritual glasses, ask God, "Is the reason I'm so drained, is this spiritual battle, or I just need more Wheaties? What's going on here?" You tell me what the deal is, because sometimes it's simply the spiritual battle, and I can tell you. It's amazing, you know, even a lot of times on Sunday mornings, don't get me wrong, I've got plenty of energy throughout the day, but sometimes at the end of that, you know, you're done with a Sunday or whatever, I can feel that draining that to me is a little bit beyond just, okay, I had a busy day. It's not like I'm exactly up or doing heavy lifting, you know, it's like doing this is not wearing me out, you know, and one, right? But there's something that happens when you're fighting the spiritual battle, which is happening right now in this room, that's draining. And that's why when they touched the hem of the Lord's garment, he said, "I felt power go out of me." And that means we need to go to God on a regular basis, which I do before each service throughout the day. "God, give me new power. Third service needs your power right now. Fill me with your Holy Spirit fresh." And so we need to be asking God throughout the day, "Fill me fresh. I'm being drained. Fill me fresh. God, you know, rebuke the enemy. God, give me power." And so if you're in that place this morning, ask God. Ask him to pour out his spirit. Ask him to give you power. He will answer your call. Again, the angel's there to touch Daniel, and he has that advantage with the angel there doing that. And so again, notice he says, he touched him, he stood upright, and he said, "Look, I'm making known to you what shall happen in the latter time." Again, this is another word that indicates the very end. We talked about it. Last days is one thing. Latter means the very end, time of the second coming. So I'm showing you what's going to happen in the latter time of the indignation. That is God's judgment and all that's happening with the Antichrist. "For at the appointed time, the end shall be." So God has his day set, and this will all be over. "The ram which you saw having two horns, they are the kings of Media and Persia, and the male goat is the kingdom of Greece. The large horn that is between its eyes is its first king, as we noted, Alexander. As for the broken horn, when Alexander died, and the four that stood up in its place, four kingdoms shall arise out of that nation, but not with its power." These were the four generals that took over. Look at verse 23. "And in the latter time," this is again the very last days before the Lord comes back, "in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressions have reached their fullness," this new kingdom that's in place, "a king shall arise." Antiochus was foreshadowing. This king now, as he's talking about, is the Antichrist. He's going to be the fulfillment of what Antiochus started. He will have fierce features. That means he's going to look pretty awesome. This guy's going to have a look that makes everybody go, "Wow, look at that guy," right? You know, kind of the way you respond when you see me, except in a different way. "Oh, wow, look at that guy." I'm just kidding. But anyway, he'll have fierce features, who understands, notice this, sinister schemes In other words, he's going to be very wise in deception. Look at this. His power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. He shall destroy fearfully. He shall prosper and thrive. He shall destroy the mighty and also the holy people. Again, speaking of how the power will be given over to the Antichrist during the Great Tribulation. Through his cunning, he shall cause deceit to prosper under his rule. Now, guys, remember, before the prophetic storm hits, the headwinds arrive. And although the Antichrist has not been revealed on the scene, although he may be alive, he's not been revealed on the scene, the spirit of Antichrist is very much at work in our world today. Have you noticed? There is a spirit of deceit that the whole world is under right now. We don't have time to get sidetracked on all the different ways. But there is a massive campaign of deceit worldwide. The Bible says that will be planned in the last days. It will be sinister. It will be demonic. And most people, those who don't know Christ, will be deceived. It even says even the elect would be deceived. Here's the fun words, if possible, which means it's not possible. But even the elect, if possible, could be deceived because of how deep the deception is going to be, how real the Antichrist power will be, and all that goes with this whole overall blindness that the world is going to be under. So through his cunning, he'll cause deceit to prosper under his rule. He shall exalt himself in his heart. He shall destroy many in their prosperity. He shall even rise against the prince of princes. So remember, he's going to declare that he's the savior of the world. He's the Messiah. He is God in human form, just like Antiochus said that he was. And by the way, there are indications that something's going to happen that appears that the Antichrist dies and is resurrected. Again, a whole nother study. But that's what appears the scripture's teaching. And if that's the case, that's probably when he'll stand up right after that and announce to the world from the Temple Mount, I am the Savior of the world. I resurrected from the dead as well. And I am God in human form. Bow down to me, not Jesus Christ, but me, the anti, or the instead of, quite literally, the instead of Christ. So he shall rise against the prince of princes, but he shall be broken without human means. What does that mean? The Bible tells us that when the Lord comes back and all the holy angels and saints with him, that he'll come back and simply speak the word and wipe out the Antichrist. It's not going to be by human means or by armies. He's just going to speak and this guy's going to be wiped out. I can't wait to see that. And by the way, I think we'll be watching this. People sometimes ask me, do you think we'll see all this? I do. And here's why I believe that. We'll be up there at the wedding supper of the Lamb. And the Bible says during the wedding supper of the Lamb, all this last day stuff is going to be happening during this final 7 years. The angels stepping forward, breaking the seals, blowing the trumpets, pouring out the bowls. I believe we're going to be sitting there feasting with the Lord, celebrating, watching God again finish up his promise to the nation of Israel. Those final 7 years promised in the book of Daniel chapter 9 that we'll get to shortly. And then also just that leading up to the return of the Lord. I think we're going to be watching this. It's going to be quite the scene to see. And so he says, again, notice this, and the vision of the evenings and mornings, which was told, is true. I have that underlined. In other words, note that. Gabriel's saying, look, I'm an angel from heaven. I've seen this. It's true. You can count on it. Well, now we can look back historically and see that indeed it did happen. Indeed, that it is true. And he's saying, you know what? You can count on the word of God. Listen, the Holy Spirit's saying the same thing to us today. You can count on the word of God. It is true. Therefore, seal up the vision, for it refers to many days in the future, which is now the days we're living in. And I, Daniel, fainted and was sick for days. Again, remember we talked about that spiritual draining. Again, this literally wiped Daniel out for days as he saw this overwhelming vision, and it drained his physical body by the spiritual activity. Afterward, I arose and I went about the king's business. And look at this. Don't feel too bad if you don't understand everything we covered today, because Daniel didn't the first time either. He says, I was astonished by the vision, but no one understood it. Daniel obviously understood it later. Some of you this morning are saying, well, that's right. I've heard the vision, but I don't understand it. As you continue to study God's word, you will understand it. God will show you. God will begin as you go back and listen, as you study the word of God. God will reveal that wherever you are in your prophetic understanding and how you're growing in that. But here's the main thing that God wants you to understand today, and that is he loves you and that he's an intimate God who cares about intimate details. God gave a prophecy here with extremely intimate details, and he wanted us to know them. It wasn't just Daniel he wanted them to know. He wanted us to know them as well, because he wanted us to know that he's intimately involved with the world. He's very active, and he's intimately involved with us, which means all the things we see going on right now, God is in control. He's on the throne. He's intimately involved. The world's not falling apart. Everything's falling in place. and he's going to complete this, even as he did and has already completed 100% what he said he would do then. He's now going to complete it till the very end. And so we as believers can rejoice and realize no matter how bad it gets before the Lord comes and yanks us out of here, it's going to get really good really soon. And then it's going to be great for all eternity. And that's why we rejoice as believers. Now, for the unbeliever, prophecy is given for a different reason, that you might believe. For the believer, look, I don't need God's word to be proven to me that it's true. I don't. When God opened my eyes, I can tell you, when supernaturally God opened my eyes 2 years before I got saved, I ran for 2 years. God kept chasing me because he's so good, and ended up giving my life to him. However, I knew it was true. Even when I was unsaved, I knew it was true once he opened my eyes. He opened my eyes and I recognized it. There comes a point, I believe, in every person's life where God opens the eyes. The question is, what do you do with that? When God opens your eyes, are you going to respond? Are you going to run like I did and then hopefully eventually come around? Are you going to run and never come around? That's going to determine where you spend eternity. But if God has opened your eyes this morning, part of that is showing you prophecy that you might see unbelievable things predicted hundreds and thousands of years in advance. So you can say, there's no way that man wrote this book. There's no way this is any kind of man-made religion. This is supernatural from heaven. And I believe that Jesus Christ was who he said he was. He came as God in human form, not Antiochus or the Antichrist, the true God in human form. The Father in human form. He went to a cross. He died for our sins, spilled his blood, because only blood can take sin away, the Bible says, and it had to be perfect blood. And he said, now that I've paid that price, anyone that will come to me and say, will you pay my price? He says, I'll pay it. You just have to come to me and admit you're a sinner, ask me to forgive you, my blood will cover you, and you will have your place forever in the kingdom of God. That's what prophecy is for those this morning who don't know the Lord. And so both of us need to respond. Us as believers, thanking God for assuring us and giving us a firm foundation, and for the unbeliever, an opportunity now to be saved. Respond. Respond to the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for giving us as believers that solid foundation, showing us, Lord, these things prophetically so we can say, look at our God. Look how amazing he is. Look how powerful he is. Look what he's done. Lord, it does nothing but make our faith stronger in you and in your word and give us greater and greater hope and faith in the future to come. If you were faithful to this point, God, you're going to be faithful from this point on. So we thank you for that, Lord. But Father, I pray right now for anybody in here that doesn't know you, or again, anybody watching or listening by any means that doesn't know you, they would see, Lord, this is too supernatural just to be something man wrote. This is too supernatural just to be a lucky guess. This is too intimate and detailed to not have a God who knows all things directing it and speaking of it. And right now, that God is speaking to your heart. And he's saying, I gave my son for you. He died for you on a cross. And if you'll believe that he died for you and that his blood pays your penalty of your sin, and you'll simply come to him and ask his forgiveness, repent and turn from your sin, receive him as your Lord, you will be saved, be born again, and live forever in the kingdom of God. And I pray, God, if there's anyone right now that doesn't know you, that's hearing this message, and your spirit is convicting them, that they would now respond. Don't fight the Lord. Respond to the Holy Spirit. He loves you, and he wants you to be a part of the family. He's calling you in. Answer the call. So, Father, we thank you again for the work of your spirit and give you all the glory. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for joining us today on Come to the Table with Pastor Mark Kirk. Pastor Mark is teaching a series from the book of Daniel where we see how to be faithful to God in the midst of consequences that were brought on a sinful nation. The Israelites were forced to live in Babylon, a foreign nation far from their homeland. Can you imagine being a young man as Daniel was, living in a strikingly different religious society than what he believed? How hard would it be to stand firm in your faith? To me, it sounds pretty similar to what we experience when we make a stance for Christ. Although we may not be living in a foreign land, we still come across opposition to our faith. But as we learn from Daniel's life, God gives us courage to not bow down to the idols of this world. We can overcome great obstacles through the power of the Holy Spirit and trusting He is with us. We hope as you've listened today, you've been encouraged to stay true to Jesus where you live and work. We'd also like to invite you to come visit us. If you're in the Knoxville area, why don't you come to Calvary Knoxville this weekend? Find our service times by going to thewaymedia.net and then click on the Calvary Knoxville tab, scroll to the bottom, and click on the Outreach of Calvary Knoxville link. Once you determine which service works for you, bring the whole family. If you want to listen to any of these studies again, just click on the Come to the Table link online at thewaymedia.net or connect with the Way Media app. We look forward to connecting with you in any of these capacities. We'll continue our verse-by-verse study through Daniel next time on Come to the Table.
Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.